Jika Anda baru saja bergabung, Anda masih bersama Radio SBS Program Bahasa Indonesia. Jika Anda ingin memberikan saran atau masukan, Anda dapat kunjungi Facebook kami atau ke indonesian.program@sbs.com.au atau lewat Facebook kami. Atau juga telepon langsung kami di 02943-03135 atau 03994-9208. Nah, apakah Anda percaya bahwa di Australia itu hanya ada satu aksen begitu? Karena ada anggapan bahwa perbedaan aksen Inggris-Australia itu kecil sekali dari daerah satu ke daerah yang lainnya. Nah, untuk mengetahuinya lebih lanjut, marilah kita simak laporan yang disampaikan oleh Ibu Tia Arda dan yang disusun oleh Maya Jamieson berikut ini.
Anda dapat berwisata mengelilingi luasnya Australia dan dapat menemukan sedikit saja variasi dalam aksen Inggris Australia di seluruh negeri ini. Kini, para peneliti melihat kembali isu tentang aksen ini dan variasi apa saja yang sekarang ada. Dan seperti yang dilaporkan oleh Maya Jamieson berikut ini pendengar, ada peningkatan pengaruh ragam budaya terhadap aksen yang dimiliki oleh bangsa Australia saat ini. Australia memang merupakan suatu benua. Namun jika kita membicarakan tentang aksen Inggris Australia, maka aksen ini memiliki standar yang sama di seluruh wilayah daratan ini. Profesor John Hajek dari School of Languages and Linguistics di University of Melbourne mengatakan hal ini adalah hal yang wajar di Australia.
For instance, you can tell when someone's from the south of England, you can tell when someone's from the north of England, you can tell when someone's from Wales, you can tell when someone's from Scotland. But we have a lot of trouble identifying reliably whether someone is from Brisbane or Melbourne or Sydney or Perth.
Mengapa hal ini bisa terjadi? Profesor Hajek menyebutkan bahwa sementara kaum pribumi Australia telah mengembangkan lebih dari 250 bahasa yang berbeda sebelum terjadinya kolonialisasi bangsa Eropa, Australia sendiri adalah bangsa yang terhitung muda. Dilihat dari proses bermukimnya.
It's limited mainly because we're a young country. We're only settled a couple of hundred years ago by Europeans in terms of English and the fact that we are incredibly mobile.
Dosen suara senior di Victorian College of the Arts, Leith McPherson mengatakan, sangat mudah bagi seorang asing untuk salah memahami aksen Australia yang unik ini.
I think one of the things that foreign speakers tend to get wrong about the Australian accent is that they key into the sounds that you'll hear in a Cockney accent. There's a quite a famous or infamous episode of The Simpsons where the characters travel to Australia and I think pretty much every actor that they chose to play an Australian is doing a fairly terrible Cockney accent.
That's a bloody outrage, it is!
And there's definitely an overlap between those two accents. There are qualities of Cockney that are present in the Australian accent, but it's quite distinct. So if you're doing a word like laugh, go back to that hesitation sound, it's that A sound that happens in the middle of the mouth, laugh, whereas like laugh, if I'm talking like that, laugh. It's a position that's much more open in the back of the mouth.
Profesor Hajek mengatakan bahwa Australia berusaha untuk meniru aksen Inggris dengan mengutip salah satu rekaman media lama seperti yang dimiliki oleh SBS di tahun 1980 berikut ini.
This is SBS Ethnic Television coming to you on ABN 2 in Sydney and ABV 2 Melbourne.
My name is Deepak and welcome to Ethnic Television.
If you listen to radio and television recordings from the 50s, 60s and 70s, it's quite striking how British it sounds, but the announcers are all Australian and it really was a model that we tried to emulate. And so when you listen to older speakers, particularly of a certain social class, they definitely sound much more British. They're what we call cultivated Australian English speakers.
Namun Profesor Hajek mengatakan bahwa masa-masa tersebut telah berlalu.
The broader your accent, you're more likely to have lower education. The more cultivated your accent, the more likely you are to have elevated levels of education, the more likely you are to have wealth. So in fact, there's a whole tradition that's now basically disappeared of Australians trying to sound more upper class, more British, by doing speech and elocution lessons. So my mother's generation, grandmother's generation, spent a lot of time in school learning how to speak proper.
Untuk aksen kontemporer Australia, Profesor Hajek mengutip serial televisi yang menuai kesuksesan, Kath and Kim, serta dua karakter bernama Prue dan Trude.
We're going away for the school holidays.
Oh, look, we were going to go to Falls, but there's no snore.
More. No, so yeah, I don't know. What about you?
I just want to go bush, you know, somewhere off the beaten track.
Really? So where are you going to go?
Noosa.
There's the two contrasts. There's the characters Trude and Jude, I think their names are, who've got these sort of upper-class Australian accents, and if you listen to them, you can hear how different they are from Kath and Kim.
Look at this. Peach's Beauty Salon have got a free offer. A mother and daughter face peel. What do you reckon?
Give it a bone, please. You are adding to my stress levels.
Kath and Kim really play on the broader Australian accent. So the whole joke of, you know, she doesn't say nice, she says noise. So, you know, those sort of vowel changes that we associate with a much broader Australian accent.
Dr. Debbie Locks, yang juga dari School of Languages and Linguistics, mengamati apakah para pendatang dari Irlandia dan Cina, misalnya, mengadaptasi karakter-karakter dari bahasa Inggris Australia.
And it seems so far that people who have been here around 10 years may be adopting certain features, but there's also potentially resistance. So, you know, people might not want to sound like the group that they're moving towards, and they might like to keep their own accent, and they might be very conscious of it. And in that way, we've got those factors of identity being involved in someone maintaining their own accent. In the case of the second language, they're probably more motivated to start sounding like the group that they actually arrive to. It depends on where the people are from, if it's a second dialect, a second language, whether they believe their accent's prestigious in the first place.
Ada juga pengaruh dari faktor lintas budaya. Dr. Locke menambahkan bahwa anak-anak khususnya terpengaruh oleh cara bicara orang lain, termasuk juga orang tuanya yang merupakan pendatang.
Linguists call that an ethnolect, so when it's the first or the second generation of people, and for example with Lebanese parents in Melbourne, it might be Greek or Italian, they might have a different accent, which may be from features that their parents had in their first language that have transferred to their English. And so it's likely that especially in a high school, if there's a large proportion of kids who are, say, from a Lebanese or a Greek background, it's likely that they might be the prestigious group in that school, and then mainstream kids might take on some of the features from their accents because they like it. So there is that whole idea about accents being either prestigious or someone looking towards somebody else and then being more likely to imitate them.
Professor Hijack mengatakan bahwa wilayah kini mulai menunjukkan identitasnya masing-masing.
So there is evidence that we're getting Melbourne is starting to show itself to be distinctive, and it's because of one vowel. And even the way we say the city name has changed, so the many people in Melbourne refer to it as Melbourne. So they open the vowel. And that's what outsiders often identify as characteristic of Melbourne speech. But in fact, when we start looking, we're starting to find the same thing in Brisbane now. So things are changing. Because of the movement, because of the mass media and all of those sorts of things, things change very quickly.
Nah, itulah tadi laporan Ibu Tia Arda tentang aksen atau variasi aksen di Australia.